Happy Friday, Plant City.
I'm Justin Klein. She's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest in all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. So let's start with the news from this week's slate of EPG meetings. And by slate of EPG meetings, I mean one EPG meeting, because that's what we're going to do now from now on. Bree, what's the word?
Yeah, well, the vote for the one a week started this week. So we actually had one on both Monday and Thursday, but this was the last time that's going to happen. So I want to make this really, really quick because I know we have a guest on today. So Thursday's EPG meeting was a little bit longer than we've been seeing and featured quite a few in-depth health updates. Members discussed how the medical field and like long-term care facilities and everything were handling the patients that were confirmed positive for COVID-19. And school board chair Melissa Snively also brought up the concept of potentially bringing a testing clinic to Brandon, stating that residents there had reached out and would appreciate a closer testing site. For those listening that live in Plant City, we have one here. So we, you know, what, 10 minutes is the longest it takes to get anywhere in town. So for Brandon, they were having to either go to Tampa or here. So that's why that was floated. And as of Wednesday, our death toll was up to 2,173, and confirmed infections had moved past that 5,000 mark. And interestingly enough, during a meeting on Wednesday with county officials, the county said that a large portion of the $15 million in federal aid that the county had available to help local residents is still available. Officials were saying that more than half of the residents that had applied to the relief aid, if you will, they never finished their paperwork. And so they never received assistance, which most were using because they needed help paying like rent or utilities. So the report said the county had accepted 4,891 pre-screened applications since the program began on April 27th. However, only 2,024 applicants had been accepted. So that's something to keep in mind. The money is still there. You can go to the county's website to get more information on that if you need assistance. And as the state slowly reopens, there's been a lot of discussion going on as to what should open, what shouldn't, how the public should respond, how they go about living in the new normal. And for example, tattoo parlors and bars in Hillsborough County, they want to open their doors, but they have felt left out by the county's interpretation of the governor's orders. And over the weekend, we have started to see protests being held specifically for some of those bar owners. I think it was in Clearwater. And yet our officials are saying it is entirely up to the governor, that there really isn't room for interpretation when it comes to these matters. So until they get a solid answer, they are not going to do anything because it's really not their call to make. So if you want to stay up to date with what the EPG is doing, like Justin said, they're now only going to meet once a week. So tune in next Thursday at 1:30 p.m. on the county's YouTube and Facebook pages.
All right, we're going to move on now to our talk of the town. This week, we wanted to get your thoughts on the EPG meetings. I know we changed it. So now from now on, it's going to be one per week. So we still wanted to know, do you think they're effective in their current state and schedule? Or do you think the group members are wasting too much of their own time and ours? We asked you guys on Facebook, and here's what you had to say, and I apologize in advance, as always, if I mess up your name. So Amanda Pierce said, once a week or let expire. Families must work and need child care facilities to resume operations. Otherwise, we stay in a stagnant situation. We need to move forward in order to help make America, parentheses, and Plant City, great again. Bethlehem Parks said, let their emergency expire and follow the governor. Please let us get back to making America great. Timothy M. Lopez Jr. said, it's all about money. If they let it expire, access to federal funding is cut off. That's the only reason it continues. Clyde Bull Nelson said, once per week, perhaps via video conferencing. Dave Byens said, once per week, might be needed again. Stephen T. Galindo said, this situation is not near as fluid as it was first thought. The EPG can meet less. And a lot of you, well, the rest of you who comment on the post said expire or let it expire. So I think a lot of people do not want to see these anymore. Anyway, one good thing to come from the state's reopening plan is that small businesses are getting another chance to get back on their feet. It sounds like big things are coming to downtown pretty soon in particular. We wanted to get a glimpse of the near future for our beloved small businesses, so Bree and I decided it was about time we brought back the OG, the original guest of the show, Gerilyn Rumbarger of Plant City Main Street. Gerilyn, what's up?
How you doing? Hey guys, how's it going?
Going pretty all right. So I want to know about this Downtown Dollars thing. We're starting to get out a little bit, but you've got all the deets, so who better to talk to?
I do indeed have all the details. So as we progressed into COVID-19, Main Street as an organization started to see the impact that coronavirus-related closures and slowdowns would have on our small businesses. So we knew that we needed to jump into action with some sort of solution to drive direct spending to our downtown businesses. Obviously, with limited resources and with a situation that was changing daily, we needed to find a way to multiply any investment we made and also have flexibility to respond as we move forward. So we came up with a program to provide direct support to our neighborhood businesses and to provide a multiplier from consumer spending, which is essentially the Plant City Main Street's Downtown Dollars program.
So what are the goals of this thing? What are you guys hoping to accomplish?
So we have a few goals. One of them is to increase consumer spending at downtown businesses through incentivizing purchases with discounted vouchers and introducing consumers to new businesses. It will hopefully increase revenue to our small businesses located in the downtown district. We also wanted to leverage Plant City Main Street's investment for a larger impact, build member relationships, secure positive press for Plant City Main Street and our downtown businesses as well, and build community among businesses and consumers.
So this has effects on both businesses and consumers. So I guess the first thing I'm going to do is ask you what this looks like from the consumer's perspective. So if like Bree or I were to go out and get these Downtown Dollar vouchers, how would this work for us exactly?
So it's very appealing to both the consumer and the merchant side. So for consumers, it's very simple. What you would do is you would log on to the Plant City Main Street website. There's a tab in the upper right-hand corner that says Downtown Dollars. You would click on that tab, and you can add downtown vouchers to your cart. And then you would check out. You would purchase the vouchers. On the receiving end, Main Street would then mail out the vouchers to each consumer. Once you receive them, you could immediately redeem them in stores starting June 1st, and it would be available to all downtown participating businesses.
And so what about for the businesses themselves? How does this work?
So on the merchant side, it's, again, very appealing. We made it very simple. The consumers would redeem their vouchers. The merchants would hold on to those physical vouchers. And at the end of the week, there's two steps. Log them in via an online portal that all merchants will have access to all the time. And then on Friday, you'll turn in your physical vouchers to the Main Street office. And then on Monday, a reimbursement check would be available to every business that turned in vouchers from the week before.
So from our standpoint, for the consumer, it's if we spend, what is it, $5, we get basically a $10 voucher?
Exactly. So Main Street will underwrite the 50% difference. So as a consumer, you're going to go on the website, you're going to purchase the voucher for $5, the face value is $10, and then we will match the difference so that the businesses are not losing out on revenue for sales.
Okay, so business-wise, who all is eligible to participate?
So any business that's located in the downtown district can opt in to the program. One of the requirements is that the business that's opting in also be a Main Street member. A few weeks ago, we opened up Main Street memberships to the downtown business owners, complimentary. So there is no financial burden to become a Main Street member if you're located within the downtown district. You sign up to be a Main Street member, you opt into the program, and then you're ready to go. We'll deliver a startup folder for each business that opts in that gives them the rundown of how the program's going to work and some cheat sheets to kind of help get them through the process of redeeming the vouchers.
And before the show, we were talking a little bit about possibly making a toolkit for other communities to use something like this in the future. How is that exactly going to work?
So we're going to link the toolkit that we built out that kind of gets neighboring communities or national communities from point A to point Z. That'll be available for download on the website. It'll be free. You will have to just provide some information just because we want to track who is downloading it. But it will be available on the website at no charge.
Okay. That's all the questions I've got for you. So thanks so much for joining us today, Jerilyn. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Anyway, we're going to turn the tables a little bit and get into the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation, which is the part where Bree and I, who are used to being cooped up inside all the time by choice, tell you how to get through any period of self-isolation you may have and not go totally stir crazy from it. But it's not like we're never bored sitting inside. I get bored all the time, and before the safer at home stuff even happened, I wouldn't have given much thought towards doing stuff like taking online personality tests, but here I am. I've been that bored. It's honestly not the worst thing ever, though. Yeah, I thought I knew myself decently well before the tests, and they're technically not telling me anything I didn't already know, but it is refreshing when they get me right, even when it's for a personality trait that I know that I have, but I don't really want to admit that I have. I don't believe in denying a truth just because it makes me uncomfortable, so just roll with it. Bree, have you ever done anything like this? Have you been taking these tests lately, or have you ever taken any of these before?
Yeah, two of my closest friends in college were psych majors, so you do the math, Justin. I took so many.
So you know, you are quite attuned with who you are as a person, or maybe you're just as confused as ever, but you've not for lack of trying.
I tend to give a, you know, proverbial middle finger to anything that pops up that I'm like, what the? But other than that, yeah, I know how I test. Let's just say that.
Okay, I gotcha. Also, I'm not talking about the, you know, the BuzzFeed type of thing where you go to the random quiz that's been done like every year on around the same month for 3 years in a row. You pick like 5 or 6 pictures of somebody's vacation homes, dog breeds and snack foods. And it's like, hey, you're an extrovert, and you might not really be an extrovert. You just like certain dogs and you'd rather live in a mountain house than a beach house. And you really like Funyuns. I don't think there's any test out there that's going to get you 100% correct, but I think there are some that get close enough to surprise you, like Bree knows from taking so many. A few examples of free tests I've taken recently that I thought got me right, or at least pretty right, and mind you, I've taken each of these quite a few times just to be sure. One thing, I think the best one was 16personalities.com. And I got Adventurer ISFP-T. That one gives you insights into subcategories like what your romantic relationships are like, or your friendships, your parenthood skills, career paths, workplace habits, things like that. It's pretty well-rounded. I can't speak for the parenthood part because I don't have any kids. I've got 2 nephews. I've got a niece. I've got the cool uncle thing going for me, and there's some dogs and cats in my life. Everything else, though, was pretty much on the money as far as I can tell. Yeah, that was the best one yet. I also did Truity.com's Enneagram test. Enneagram, 2 N's. Not sure how you pronounce it, but whatever. I took the test. That one doesn't really give you as much detail, and the free report is the paid one, but it's something. I'm not really as sold on that one because even though it splits everything up into a pie graph, you might get like 97% match with one thing and 96% with another thing and 95% with a third thing, and then the others will be like 70% or 40%. I'm not really sure how that balances out or can tell you definitively one way or the other. Technically, in this thing, I'm some kind of mix between a type 4, which is, I'm doing scare quotes as I say all of these things because their words not mine, individualist, a type 9 peacemaker, and a type 5 investigator. I'm going full Dr. Evil here for all of you who can't see me right now, which is to say everybody listening to this show. But whatever, I think that this kind of gave me a better sense of what I'm not than what I am. For example, I know for sure, and this just confirmed it, that I'm not a type 3, which is an achiever, or a type 1, which is a perfectionist. I scored in the 40% range in both of those, and it pretty much confirms what I've thought about myself all along. And I want all of my work to be good when I'm doing it, but at the end of the day, I would kind of hate myself a little bit if the only value I felt like I had in life, or if I felt like other people felt like I had in life, came directly from my career and my career only. I feel like I have more to offer than that, but hey, that's just me. I've also done the test for the 5 love languages, which Jerilyn's really big on, and actually she's the one who got me to take it. For those of you who haven't, it's not just a romance thing, since you can take most of them and you can apply them to other things in your life, like your regular friendships or even your job. And you know, you've got the book for singles, and I think you have the couples book too, so you know quite a bit about that. How does all this stuff work exactly?
It can work in many ways, honestly. I've used it in all aspects of life. I learned first off what my love language is. I have my friends learn what their love language is, so I know how to be a better friend to them. In the workplace, if you know what someone else's love language is, I really do think that it allows you to be a better leader for them, or, you know, business partner with them. If someone's love language is words of affirmation, at the end of the day, they just want to hear you tell them that, you know, they've done a good job. And I know that from a personal perspective, because my love language is words of affirmation. So the one thing that I need in my life, whether it's, you know, as a parent, as a coworker, as a significant other, is to be just kind of immersed in positive words and that sort of thing. So it really can be used in all aspects of life.
For the most part, yeah. The only thing I would disagree with, having taken the test and not read the books or anything, but still like the bare minimum amount where I sort of know what I'm talking about, but whatever. If you were going to apply this to the workplace, a lot of these things work. There's, you know, words of affirmation, acts of service, things like that. I don't really want anyone in my life, in my job, at, you know, wherever, to look at physical touch and be like, oh, I need to touch him more in the office.
I completely understand and respect that point of view. But when it comes to physical touch, I think that it's a more broad spectrum of what that means. You know, sometimes in conversation, if you tell someone, hey, you're doing a good job, they might not reciprocate that because you're doing verbal communication. But when you say, hey, you're doing a good job, and maybe touch their shoulder, sometimes just a quick total shoulder touch or a hug or a high five, I mean, that also falls within the realm of physical touch. It's not always so, you know, narrow.
Yeah, I totally didn't think of it that way. Like I said, I did the bare minimum on this. You know more than I do, so yeah, that totally makes sense. I didn't think of that. I was just thinking, like, okay, this sounds totally like a romance thing. So I was like, even if you sign my paychecks, I don't care. Please don't touch me like that, or get the idea that you need to do that because you scored high on this and I scored high on this or whatever. But yeah, if you haven't done these tests, even if you're listening to this right now and you think I'm completely wasting your time by talking about things that you already think about yourself, it might be kind of fun just to see where you stand on these things, and maybe you'll learn something about yourself you didn't already know, and it just clicks and it hits you, and it's like, wow, this is how I respond better to certain things, whether it's, you know, in the workplace, your love life, your friendships, anything like that. Bree, what about you? What do you have for us for the introvert's guide to self-isolation this week?
Okay, so this week I am going to encourage anyone listening to embrace the bizarre. People have gotten very creative during our extended isolation, and a lot of the projects that have come from it are as insane as they are wonderful. Recently, I have really delved quite deeply into my watch list. I am almost caught up on the majority of my favorite shows and movies. I've still got a stack of books a mile high that I need to get through, but I'm slowly chipping away at that. I've baked, I've cooked, I've cleaned. So now I've started to spend my sleepless nights running further and further down rabbit holes. And to be entirely honest, I have found some excellent stuff. I have also found some terrible stuff, but you know, you gotta gamble with it when you're on YouTube at 3 a.m. So
that's all you had to say. I was on YouTube at 3 a.m. I found something horrible. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt.
Very true. One of the things that recently I have been enjoying the heck out of is Taika Waititi has rounded up his celebrity friends and is reading James and the Giant Peach a few chapters at a time, and approximately they're like 20-minute long segments. So Cate Blanchett, Sarah Paulson, Meryl Streep, Chris and Liam Hemsworth, Mindy Kaling, and a bunch of other very talented performers are all joining him for this read-along, and it's as hilarious as it is adorable. So for those of you who don't know Waititi, you've got to look up his filmography, because the man's a genius, but he is definitely absurd. And as he is reading along, he's adding these very weird but funny sound effects, and everyone who is reading along does strange voices. It's amazing, and it's on the Roald Dahl HQ YouTube channel. They release a new video every few days, and eventually they're going to do the entire book. And if you're looking for another celebrity storybook time, you absolutely have to pop over to Facebook, to the Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, everyone loves Dolly Parton. And if you do not, please find my email in the link below. We need to have a little chat, just a little come to Jesus meeting, if you will. But starting in April, Dolly Parton started to read a children's book every Thursday night. And if you had told me even 4 months ago that we would be getting bedtime stories from some of our favorite entertainers, I probably would not have believed you, because they all have better things to do with their time. But this is great, and it's something the entire family can enjoy, and it's free, so that's amazing. However, if you're an adult and you want to lean into the resurgence of Dadaism, then truly the best bet is to turn to an age-old classic right now. Saturday Night Live has really cranked up their content with their SNL at home shows. So we're talking a cast with very little to no props. They're normal tech mechanics and a lot of isolation fuel jokes. The show has been honestly churning out content that is on par, if not better, than their earlier season. And it's really showed the creativity of the current team that's working there. And a lot of what they tackle are things you've either, they're things you've either seen, experienced, or thought about while staying at home. And those episodes are on Hulu. The clips are on YouTube. It is that millennial humor that is both difficult to explain and bizarre and gets funnier the more you watch it. I think we all remember the Whatcha Say SNL clip from years ago, and how the first time it aired, we sat there like, what on earth is that? And then after the 40th time we've seen it, now it's a classic, and we just see one gif of it and we start crying laughing. So also, if you're still wanting to veg out and watch something new, and you know, you're looking for your next favorite, then check out this week and next week's paper, or visit plantcityobserver.com. We're running a two-part streaming guide that breaks down hidden gems, classics, and groundbreakers on five major streaming platforms.
I've talked to a lot of people in Plant City over the years who've had a lot of different opinions from each other and would disagree terribly on a lot of things, but the one thing that they all have in common, whether they want to admit this in public or not, is everybody here really does love Dolly Parton.
Everyone.
Every single person in this town loves Dolly Parton. And Dolly, if you're listening to this, or one of your people are listening to this, and maybe you relay the message, maybe do us all a favor here, please come to the Strawberry Festival. I'm trying to see that.
Please, Dolly.
Please come to the festival. Grace us with your presence. Anyway, we're going to end the show, as always, by looking for the helpers. It's positive vibes only in this little corner of our show. And once again, I'd like to ask all of you listeners out there to keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about in the podcast. And who knows, maybe we will even put it in print one of these days. So Bree, you're up first. What brought you complete joy this week?
So last week when I was discussing things to do, I recommended picking up gardening. And then part of that segment, I was talking about the Plant City Commons Community Garden. And recently, it was actually over this weekend, they had a Cub Scout troop, I think it was Troop 744, come out, and they spent all morning on Saturday weeding, shoveling, wheelbarrowing, and they cleaned up the garden, and then they divided the asparagus and the gingers, and they just spent hours out there making it look really great. And the kids worked their butt off, and Karen Elizabeth, who is the head of the garden, said that, you know, the garden's always looking for help. They always appreciate the help from the community that they get, and their door's always open. So I know I've been out there before when Girl Scout troops have been there, students from HCC and USF have come, all kinds of different organizations have kind of benefited from that. And it's something that makes Plant City unique. You know, when you get involved locally and you volunteer your time, it ends up making a massive impact in the community because simply of the ripple effect. When you give back locally, you're making the very community that you live in better for everyone. And what a great lesson to teach those kids. You know, they've probably been going stir crazy at home. And so then they get to go spend a morning working outside and near their friends. And I was clicking through the photos online and it just made me smile. So that's definitely mine this week.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to talk about something that I wrote about this week that you can read in this week's paper if you want, or online because it's there too. Well, I got to chat with a guy named Irv Potter, a musician who lives in Walden Lake. And Irv and I talked about this weekly concert series. Well, now it's a monthly concert series, but it was a weekly concert series that he's been playing. Irv's been setting up in his driveway for the last few months. He plays guitar, he sings, goes for about 3 hours at a time. He's playing oldies, classic country. He's taking songs by request. If you have kids who are big Disney fans, he can put that up on his iPad and he can play those songs. He'll figure it out. Even if he doesn't really know everything, he's been playing long enough to where he gets it down, he knows the chords, he's good to go, and it'll sound good. The shows are kind of a hit in his neighborhood. I've seen some of the photos and stuff, and it's popping. People got their trucks out there. They're putting up tents. They're bringing their kids out. The kids are drawn in the streets with sidewalk chalk and stuff. It's really cool. The shows are also being streamed on Facebook Live, so whenever he's playing out there, his wife Debbie is putting it up there on the internet for everyone to see, and this has been going all over the country because people have been sharing it. Even in one case, some people from England were watching, and so he played a little bit of Jerry and the Pacemakers for them, which is an English band I did not know about until he put me onto them. They're kind of like the Beatles, not too bad. It's a cool way to bring a neighborhood together and take everybody's minds off of self-isolation and quarantine and all these COVID-19 buzzwords that we all have to look at and think about 100 times a day, and it can really get you down sometimes. It's good to write about good things like that are happening during a pandemic that's caused tens of thousands of bad things to happen and make the news and just clog our Twitter feeds with ugh. Anyway, Irv's next show is going to be either the second or third Saturday of June. When I talked to him, he wasn't 100% sure yet, but it's going to be one of those two dates, and he'll get the word out. If anyone's interested, no matter what day he picks, he's going to be out there playing in his driveway from 4 to 7 p.m. If you want to know more details about the shows and learn a little bit more about Irv, who's a pretty cool guy, check out this week's Observer, go online and read up. Anyway, on that note, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in this week. Stay tuned for next Friday's podcast. And as always, you all stay safe, Plain City.